Welcome to the friend zone. It's a tough place to be. Trust me, I've been there plenty of times. I mean, you probably have too. You ever gone and like expressed your feelings of love, or maybe it's vice versa, only to be told, I'm not that interested. Well, he shot his shot, but now because of their relationship, what is she supposed to do? Today, we've got a brand new Ask My Mom. Welcome to the show.
Hi, my name's Kramer, and I am proud to admit that I am a mama's boy.
You're not just any mama's boy. You're a certified mama's boy. And this is the Certified Mama's Boy Podcast.
Hello, how are you? It's the 21st of July. Thank you for listening to this daily podcast that we call Certified Mama's Boy. We are based in three principles, in case you're new. Live, laugh, love your mom. And if you're not new, of course you know that. It's live your life out loud, laugh a lot, and love my mom. Why did I just screw that up? I've said this 400,000 times. We live our lives out loud, we laugh a lot, and we love my mom, my co-host Nancy Yancey. Hi, Mom.
Hi, honey.
Well, let me catch you up on the $500,000 that I owe the IRS.
Oh boy.
I don't think any other podcast you start today will start with, let me catch you up on the $500,000 that I owe to the IRS. If you weren't here this week, I have been billed $556,000. Actually, it rounds up to $557,000, but who's counting? From the IRS from my 2020 taxes, which is an extraordinary amount of money. If you've been listening the last couple of days, you know that I haven't really been able to get in touch with my CPA. Like Tuesday, it like had just happened. I just got the bill. And I was like, what? You may have listened to Kramer and Jess on demand. This is a doozy of a situation. So I don't think I need to sum up anything that's been happening with it. Like when the story, basically my tax guy left off the information from the sale of my house. So that really like F things up, right? But you also need to know my tax guy, like, I don't know, man. He might be 80 years old, 70, 80. He's like my dad's age. So like, you know how my dad is, just, you know, old. And so like I just get kind of nervous. Like some of the things, like I'm like, if this dude dies, like think if he were to die right now. Like if a dude were to die right now.
Oh yeah.
Like what would I do? I don't even know what to do anymore. But the problem, everyone's like, why don't you find a new tax guy? Here's the thing is like he does, I've used him since 2014 and he's really good at, he like specializes in media people's taxes. So like he knows exactly the write-offs that I can use specifically for radio. So it really does become beneficial until I owe $556,000. So I did get an email back from him, and I want to run this by you and see what the steps that you would take. Because I told you, like when that in that course of Tuesday show, I had called him, I had FaceTimed him, like I was desperate. I was like FaceTiming him.
Yeah, you'd called him numerous times.
I was emailing him, calling his office, calling his cell phone. Like what in the hell? Okay. His response back to me. This is about, I don't know how many hours later. It says, please do not stress. Okay. Like who in the hell's not going to stress? I think I would wish the letter would have started like, I understand why you're stressing. Don't stress. Who is on the hook for $500,000?
To the IRS of all people.
Yeah. And is not stressed. Is not just like, oh, okay. Okay, cool. Never mind. Well, he said, don't stress. So I can just not stop reading the rest of this email, I guess. I guess everything's fine. He said, this is the letter I said you would receive. Now, he did say something. I forgot because it was kind of in passing at the end. He's like, oh, by the way, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, he said you may hear from the IRS.
Hear from them again. But like, yeah. I didn't think it'd be a bill
right.
for $556,000.
Right.
He says, on there, it says these are proposed changes. I have all the info I need. The closing statements that you sent to me. I have all the info that I need to reply. The closing statements that you sent to me. This is slam dunk. Enjoy your trip. Because I was like, I'm going out of town. Like, I don't like. I need some information here on what to do. So, I'm not stressed. I can't not be stressed about that because I still. So I wake up this morning and I'm like still kind of in a panic about this because I'm like, okay, like just don't, he's like, don't worry. I'm like, hey, can we like hop on? I'm like hitting all of his again, like all over, like trying to get him on, like just some kind of contact from him. I'm like, can we get on the phone today? Because I kind of want to know how this process works.
Uh-huh.
I emailed him at 8 a.m., no response. Hmm. At noon, I responded to that email. I called his office. I called his cell phone. I texted him because I'm just over it. Like, I need to like get access to you some way, somehow.
Right.
About an hour later, he texts or he emails me back. He says, what did he say in here? Oh, I said, can we talk? I said, I really need to talk to him. He said, I am balls to the wall today. I'm like, okay. Well, I'll tell you whose balls are about to be on the wall. They don't freaking handle this. Mm. He said, the process is me answering their letter and providing all the information you sent me on acquisition and sale of home. I expect it to go smoothly. And I said, all right. Mm. So I don't know, man. Take me out of it, because I think that my anxiety is getting to me about this. Mm-hmm. How does that feel to you, Mom? Like, would you just be able to step back and say, okay, well, he's a pro. He'll handle it.
Well,
or do I need to stay on his ass and be like, yo, because some people, so it's so funny. It's so funny. I talked about this on the radio show, right? Mm-hmm. And people were calling in, and so, I mean, my own's so nice, and they have like the best of interest, and they're like, well, don't worry. Like, I'm sure the IRS can work with you to like do payment plans. I'm like, payment plans?
No.
I'm $550,000.
Not for money you don't owe.
$550,000?
No. 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 No, no, no. Not at all.
Yeah. So.
Well,
how do you feel, Mom, on the outside point of view, as someone that doesn't have a vested interest in losing $550,000?
Yeah, I think I would want to know who I could contact if this guy does fall off the face of the earth. Like,
I have the IRS phone number.
No, not from the IRS, from your CPA, in case, you know, something happens to him. Who do you go to that has all your information? You don't have it.
I don't know if there is, like, I don't know. Like, I do have all the information. Like, I still have, like, I provided him with all the information. He was really crappy too.
Yeah, but you do you have copies of what he submitted?
No. He hadn't submitted anything yet. So
let's suppose that you had to go to court for the IRS and this man was nowhere to be found. Would you have the documentation you needed?
I don't know. I don't know how taxes work. Can we just agree that taxes are the dumbest process?
Well, for sure.
In the history
of
time.
System needs to be
like
just
how is this still a thing?
Yeah.
Like, maybe in the 1800s this made sense, but like, it doesn't make any sense anymore. Mm-mm. Like, just take the money out. Or, I don't know. Just do something. Like, just do something.
Yeah.
But not this.
Filing income tax is so bad.
It's so crazy. It's so confusing.
It's so antiquated, and it is so confusing, and people don't understand it. That's why a lot of people don't do it.
Yeah. part of me just wants to kind of run away to a different country and just change my name, because like, this is just so annoying. I'm like that annoyed with this whole process. I just want to like live a different life.
That's the
life
only thing I would want
to
know. I would want to know, if you could not get in touch with him, who could provide you the information?
Like, this is not good. Well, anyway, I'm gonna stay on his ass, because
because he's just an independent guy, right? Works out of his home.
Yeah, his own thing.
Yeah, he doesn't have an office staff.
No, not like H&R Block or anything. I know.
He doesn't have a business, bona fide business. He's just got John Doe, CPA. Yeah.
Hmm. This information is probably not going to shock you, but happy wife, happy life actually is true. It doesn't shock me at all, by the way. Hmm. You've heard that phrase before, Mom, right? Happy wife, happy
sure
life.
Yeah, sure have. I agree with it.
Well, Rutgers University, actually, and God bless whoever paid to do this study. Who's like, you know, we do need to figure out if happy wife, happy life actually is real. And who knows how much they actually spend on that. They want to find out if marital bliss is strongly linked to whether or not the woman in the relationship is happy. Mm-hmm. I found this doing the radio show this morning. Didn't talk about it on the radio. They want to save it for the podcast. Mm-hmm. So, do you want the back of how this actually worked?
Sure.
Okay. So they looked at 394 couples. They researched them to see how the woman's satisfaction affects the happiness or misery of the overall relationship. And they determined that in general, men tend to be happier in their relationships than women, just in general. Okay. Mm-hmm. But in terms of overall life satisfaction, how the wives in the situation feel about the marriage directly contributes to whether their husband is happy or not. Okay, let me say that again. Mm-hmm. in terms of overall life satisfaction, how the wife feels about the marriage directly contributes to whether their husband is happy or not. If she's miserable, the whole relationship may be bad. But on the flip side, if the husband is miserable, the relationship tends to suffer a lot less.
That's right.
So if you're wondering, happy wife, happy life actually is absolutely true. There's a the woman that was explaining the study, she said if a wife is happy in her marriage, she will try hard to create a positive experience for her husband. And on top of that, when a woman is unhappy, they're much more likely to talk about it and even be quote unquote confrontational about it, while men kind of sit back and kind of seethe silently. So basically, if women are unhappy, y'all bitch about it.
Right. And you'll know about it.
That's just my deduction of this study. It said that's especially true for older couples, Mom. How about that? Older couples from generations where talking about your feelings just wasn't a thing. So how do you feel about that? I can tell you this. I do feel like it is true. And take it into your own situation, because I want to know, I kind of want to hear your stories this week too, of if you think that, because it sounds kind of crappy. Like, it sounds like as a man, it's almost like our ultimate goal is just to make sure that the woman is happy. If we want to be happy, we shouldn't worry about our own happiness. We should make sure that our female partner, this is obviously in male-female relationships, but we should spend all of our time fully focusing on the happiness of our partner. Whereas y'all just got to hope you focus on your own happiness. So it's like, what? Why do I want to get into that? Why do I want to get – like you're telling me that I don't need to worry about my own happiness at all, because as long as I am providing ultimate happiness to my female partner, talking, you know, kind of going back to the chivalry conversation, right?
Like, right.
What?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure that I really agree with that study and that men should.
Rutgers University.
Yeah, well, I know. But this is Nancy Yancey.
Okay. So it goes, it says something.
Mother of three who's lived 69 years. Yeah, I mean, I think that both of you should have an equal voice and your happiness or your unhappiness. Now, I will tell you for a fact that if Jim Yancey is unhappy, I'm surely the first to know about it.
But I don't feel like it really affects you that
bad. It does not hold back. Well, I mean, if I can control it and there's something I can do about it, then I will. But oftentimes he's unhappy about things I have no control over or no power to do anything about.
Yeah.
And if I'm unhappy, I'm probably going to be more passive aggressive than outspoken about it, just because that's how I am. So I'll probably jab him, you know.
But still, that would then
I'm a jabber.
That
but,
would then
yeah, but I can make life miserable. We can
contribute.
We women can make life miserable in our household.
So
and
I
we're more
so
emotional. We're more emotional than you guys.
Yeah.
We show our emotions more.
That's
and we're
true.
Also more dramatic, sad to say. Most women.
Well, just know, basically, all the female listeners, you can go home to your male partners tonight if you're in a male-female relationship and basically say, hey, like.
Hey, honey, are you happy?
Is
there anything I can do to make your life better?
Because if you want to be happy, you better make sure I'm happy. Science. This is science now. You want to hear about my introvert move of the week?
No, boy.
So this is for my fellow introverts.
It wasn't missing your vegan meetup?
Well, I mean, no, that was – I just didn't want to go. So here's my introvert tip of the week, okay? Because my fellow introverts will understand this, and I know that you extroverts won't really get this, but maybe you can understand an introvert a little bit better about doing this. You know, we talk about this from time to time where I will, as an introvert, do things to avoid – the contact of other humans. And not all the time. If it's like straight up half introvert, half, you know, if it was like a scale, I'm like 40% extroverted, 60, 70, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I'm not like, there's some introverts that like just can't function. You know, I can do it. I just don't want to. That's different. So I'm going to this radio conference coming up next month in Chicago. And which we're going to kind of figure out a schedule for that, Mom, for the podcast. Actually, you know what? No, we're not going to have to. We're still going to record it every day. You know why? Because it goes back into my introvertedness. I honestly, I don't.
You have an excuse to leave.
I get it. I honestly don't want to go to this conference that bad in the first place. I really, truly don't. It is because what happens is you're stuck with the extremes of radio people.
Yes.
You've got your extreme extrovert, because radio is filled with two people. It's extreme. It's filled with extreme extroverts, and it's filled with extreme introverts. And I am. It's exhausting on either side because people are just either socially awkward and like it's awkward to talk to you, or like they talk your ear off. So like for me, it's the part that gives me the most anxiety is like all the small talk I'm gonna have to be doing over 2 days, right?
Yeah.
So what I did this year was, even though it cost me more money, I decided to book a hotel outside of the conference so that I can actually leave. And like come and go as I please. Come and go as I please. You know what I mean? Like, because I feel like when you're in the hotel, you're constantly, even though like, you're going to the elevator, people by the bar, hey, come here, come talk to me, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You know?
Right.
There's no real way to get away from it. Yo, I'm staying at a hotel 10 minutes down the street. So like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna sneak in, I'm gonna sneak out, and I'm gonna go back to my hotel. And then like even like that, then you're like stuck in the elevator with people. And then you gotta like, for 14 floors up, you gotta like small talk with radio people. And I just don't wanna do it. So I'm gonna, like, again, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna put in my good faith effort.
You're going to participate at least 30 minutes every day of the 2 days.
Networking. I'll go to a couple of the Jess is getting an award. I'm going to go to that. I'm speaking on a panel. I'm judging a panel. They're doing like a, it's called Battle of the Bits.
Oh.
Which is like every show presents their best bit. And then me and a few other people judge the bits.
That's fun.
I'll go to that.
Yeah.
But y'all, when I'm ready to go back, and this is it, this is great. Like, we're not, I was like, man, I'm going to get the podcast done. I'll be gone for 2 days. No, we're going to record live from Chicago. Give me an excuse to get back to the room. Just sit in my hotel room the whole time.
Even though you have to lug your computer all the way to Chicago.
I don't care. I'll bring the mic. I'll bring the setup. I'll bring everything just to avoid.
Oh, man.
To avoid contact, I will make sure that it is done. Anyway, and your extrovert tip of the week is, introvert tip of the week is, if you're going to a conference and you don't want to have to small talk all the time, just book a hotel down the street and you can just leave and come as you please. So there you go. With that said, we'll get to our quote for today.
Okay. It's from Louis E. Boone. Don't fear failure so much that you refuse to try new things. The saddest summary of a life contains three descriptions. Could have, might have, and should have. Yeah, that's sad when people die and don't fulfill their potential. I mean, I've known people like that, you know, who just lived kind of a mundane life, but they had so much going for them. They could have done so much more and been so much happier and, you know, than where they were. But for whatever reason, they didn't have follow their calling. So, yeah.
Yeah. This topic is close to my heart, as you know, as I'm rounding the base towards dead. As I'm picking out coffins over
at
here.
Almost 40.
Next year I'll be 40, which, we get 40 such a bad rap, don't we? I don't know why. Why 40? What is it about 40?
Well, it's kind of midlife,
I guess.
You know?
I feel like I've lived like 7 lives. Like, I'm good. Like, I swear, if I died today, like, I would be good. Like, I feel like I did everything I needed to do in this lifetime. Like, I'm solid. Yeah. But, you know, my biggest fear about this is, what if I chose the wrong path?
Yeah.
My fear is, and I every day, like, I wake up and I'm like, is this what I wanted to invest 20 years in? Because I have nothing else to show in my life at all. Let's just say what it is. Like, my career is all I have. And and it does. It brings me some fulfillment. I don't know if ultimate fulfillment, but I am fulfilled by my job, which is a very dangerous thing to do, by the way. Don't recommend that. Mm-hmm. But I'm so scared I'm going to wake up in 10 years, 49, and be like, shit. Like, I wish I had a family. I wish I had all those traditional things that I kind of put by, you know, the wayside. What does that mean? Put by the wayside? Does that even make sense? Is that a real quote? What does that mean?
It means that you kind of ignore them.
What's the wayside? What does that even mean? Like, what is the wayside?
Put them out of the way. You put them out of your mind. You put them out of the way.
By the way. Do you want to figure out what this means?
I don't know what it means.
No, but I mean, like, where'd that come from?
Oh, I don't know that.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know.
The phrase appeared in William Tyndale's translation of the New Testament. Mom, you should know this. You should know everything about the Bible.
I don't know William Tyndale, and I don't know his version of the New Testament.
Clearly.
Just saying.
I don't even know what that means. Anyway, so I'm so scared I'm going to wake up and be like, oh, my God, I wish I would have had a family. I wish I would have had kids. Now, I mean, I can still have kids in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Like, it's fine. But I'm not going to want to. I'm too tired now to have kids. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like no one over the age of 29 should have kids. I feel like your body is just not. And back in the day, you used to die at 32. You know what I mean?
I know, exactly. Life was a little harder.
Yeah, well, yeah, but we didn't have all this medicine and stuff.
Exactly. We couldn't.
Like,
we'd be dead.
Everyone listening right now would most likely be dead if this was 300 years ago or whatever, you know?
Yeah, now we can live forever.
I know.
Whether we want to or not.
So that's what scares me, is that we're going to, I'm going to wake up and, like, I don't know there's much I can do about that unless I just Mom, how do you feel about that when I say that?
Well, I think that, you know, you've always been good about following your passion, and I don't think you're passionate about anything else right now. But I believe that if you should be, that you will be, and you'll discover that just in living your life.
Be the world's most annoying dad. If it happens,
along,
I will be.
You'll be ready.
I'm a little bit.
You may not be a dad. And that's okay too.
I'm a little on the OCD side, if you don't know that. And I just feel like I would take that into fatherhood as well. Like,
you will. Y'all, you bring everything you have.
Think about the damn pill separator for Kiki. Like, I'm going to be that dad. My kid's going to be 13 years old. I'm still going to go in 3 times a night and check and make sure they're still breathing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, did they die? Can you imagine? Just really quick. Sorry, we're getting way sidetracked on this. But that's really where one of my fears of life is right now, is what if I wake up and I, you know, feel like I need something else. I can't imagine, though, being a new parent and how stressful that must be.
Oh,
like, I just think about what like, when you get home and, like, you're by yourself for the first time and, like, you get a baby for the first time and you're like, what?
You're like, hello.
Like, what do I do with this damn thing?
What are we doing here?
Like, I don't even know. I don't know what to do with this.
We're going to have to figure it out together.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a quote. Cozy Earth Sheets on the podcast today. Thank you so much for everyone that's purchased Cozy Earth Sheets. I hope you're sleeping so much better. Please leave us your full review on the Certified Fans page. I know Queen Pam bought a set of sheets this week.
She did. Happy to see it.
Love to see it. Cozy Earth is our sheet partner on the podcast, and they are the world's softest sheets. My mama can tell you, I can tell you, Oprah can tell you, because they've been on her favorite things list now for 4 years. These sheets are so soft. Typically, never in a million years would I recommend that you go buy luxury sheets like this. I couldn't. Out of good faith, I couldn't do it, because they're pricier than they're going to be. This is just, I don't know. They won't be talking about this. I don't know. This is my true review. They're pricier than what I would be able to go pay at, like, a Target, right? And so I'd have to really sit there and weigh out, okay, do I want these $100 sheets, or do I want these $300 or $400 sheets, right? But here's the difference is, y'all, right now I'm giving you 40% off, okay, luxury sheets. And with those luxury sheets at 40% off, you're also going to get a 10-year warranty on your sheets. Cozy Earth is so sure you're going to love these sheets and that they're going to hold up. You've got a 10-year warranty. So you got to do the math on that. You want the Target sheets, you know, the $75 Target sheets are going to last 2 years, or do you want the nice, super soft, bamboo, breathable, super cool in the summer, warmer in the winter? It's like, do you want those sheets for less, 10-year wise, for less than you will pay to keep replacing those cheap Target sheets? You know, that's the way that I look at it. It's a great investment when you do it that way. It's like dollars a month when you think about it over the next 10 years with a 10-year warranty. You are going to love these sheets. Treat yourself, man. We just lived through a damn pandemic. During the pandemic, you were sleeping on, you were literally going through a global pandemic on shitty sheets. Mm. And like that,
that's rough.
That's a rough way to go. Like, if we're going to be in a pandemic, we got monkeypox coming up now. Oh, jeez. We got to be comfortable. You might be at home again. You might be in that bed more than you realize.
That's true. You better be ready.
CozyEarth.com. I swear these would be the best sheets you ever sleep on. And if you don't believe me, and if you don't agree with me, 100-night sleep guarantee. They'll ship them to you for free. They will ship them back for free if you don't like them. CozyEarth.com. Use that coupon code Kramer40. Coupon code Kramer40 at CozyEarth.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
All right, let's thank our certified fans for being here today. Before we get to Ask My Mom, these are people that are able to chip in $6 a month, and when you do, you're supporting the podcast. 100% of those proceeds, by the way, go to producing this podcast. So thank you for that. And if you're not a certified fan, not number one, hope you'll consider it. Number two, if you're not, be thankful for those that do, because this show wouldn't be produced if it wasn't for certified fans.
That's for sure.
For $6 a month. In return, though, you do get some perks, Mom. You want to explain the perks?
Yeah. You become a member of our Facebook fan page. You get a discount on merch. You get Mama Text. You're the first in line for exciting news. You get a shout out on a show and a shout out on our Facebook page.
Yep. So if you want to join us, just text the word, and by joining us, I mean, you know, help support the show. Mm-hmm. Text the word fans, F-A-N-S, to 888 Kramer 8. We still do need more people this month, so please, 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 please. Just know the summer months are the hardest months, because this is when people are off school and they don't have a normal routine right now. Parents usually don't. So our podcast listenership is down because of it. The radio show listenership is down because of it. So if you're like, well, I don't know if they need any help this month, we do. Mm-hmm. We don't have somebody new that we go back and we thank someone that's been here. We spin our wheel of certified fans and we dedicate that show to them. So today's show is going to be dedicated to 253. 253 is Nayeli L. We got a lot of Arizona people this week. Nayeli L is from Peoria. I've met Nayeli when I used to work at Camel 107.9. That was the real name of the station, Camel, which I thought was always funny. And it was a country radio station. And, you know, I'm always surprised. Anybody that ever listened in Arizona, we still have a bunch of people. Like Donald's one of them. Mm-hmm. Carissa is one of them.
Yeah.
Who else am I forgetting? I don't want to leave anybody out. I'm forgetting two of you right now. I'm sorry. But a bunch of you guys do a lot of, and I never understood with San Diego. I feel like we had a bond because I was there for, you know, for 5 years, and I was doing like really great radio there. In my opinion, it was really like connecting, and we had a big show. And Phoenix, I didn't feel great about that place, because I just didn't feel like that show really connected with anybody. So anyone that stuck around, you know, through,
well, at least four of them did.
Yeah, it's just crazy to me. It's like, I just don't know. I don't feel like we didn't really share much. I wasn't really going through anything personally there. You know, it wasn't like I don't know. I just don't feel like I could really connect it like I did with Panama City or with San Diego. So anybody that came over, I'm so thankful y'all still hanging out. Like we've shared so much since then together. It's been cool. So thank you for being here. So anyway, sorry, Nayeli is one of those and very thankful for you. And there's a lot of people like Jordan right after that from his certified 254 is if I look down the list, I mean, I can see, you know, a handful of all Phoenix. So super thankful for that. Anyway, Nayeli, today's show is all about you. Very thankful for you. You're always very supportive when I live there. Really appreciate it. Nayeli L is a certified fan of the day, Mom. Let's give her some whoop whoop.
Whoop whoop to Nayeli L. Thank you. So glad you're here.
Appreciate it. And we really could use you this month. So please text the word fans, F-A-N-S to 888-Kramer-8. You can also go to the show notes. There's a link there, certifiedmamasboy.com. There's a link there, any way you want to. It just takes 2 seconds to join. So thank you. All right, let's do Ask My Mom. Ask My Mom is an advice segment that we do Tuesdays and Thursdays. If you ever want to need some advice from an unbiased source, we don't really know you personally, but we love you. We have the best intention and, you know, your best intentions in mind. You can go to certifiedmamasboy.com, submit your story under contact us, and we'll read it on the air. We don't ever put names on here, by the way, so keep it anonymous. My mom has been a mom now for 42 years. She's got some good 43 motherly.
43 now.
Oh, yeah, 43 years. And it's got some good motherly advice. And then we, as a podcast family, also hop in and try to give you some advice. So, Mom, what's happening today?
Okay. Dear Mama Nancy, a coworker and I are friends. He's a good guy. But he just told me he's had a crush on me for years, and it took this long to get up the courage to tell me how he feels.
Lord.
I would like to say there's a happy ending in this story, but there isn't. There's nothing wrong with him. I just don't see the potential in him and me ever being a thing. I told him as gently as I could, and he said that this was exactly why he was afraid to tell me. But he needed to find out, and we could get out of quote unquote friend zone. This is a terrible situation because now I feel like the bad guy because I put him in the friend zone. But it's not my fault. I just don't want to be in a relationship with him. But I like having him as a friend. Now I'm not sure if we can ever be friends again. It's weird. He's going to feel awkward and feel like I rejected him, which I guess I did. But only in a romantic way, and I already feel bad for letting him down. How can I deal with this? I feel like this friendship needs to end. I mean, it's not that deep of a friendship anyway, but if I did that, then I would really be the bad guy. Yeah, well, I think you have no choice but to end it and to be honest, just as you have been or you plan to be. Yeah, I mean, this happens a lot. Our friends have crushes on us and we don't feel the same way about them, but we're not doing anything beneficial to either one if you lie about it. It's not beneficial for him. It's not beneficial for you. The truth is always the best, and I think you just tell him he's a great friend and you'd love to stay friends if he feels comfortable with that, but that's as far as it goes for you.
Yeah. It's tough, man. Like, I don't, two parts of this. Number one, I don't know that you can go back
to the way things were
before. If one of you has feelings and one of you doesn't, and listen, we really could use your stories on this one because maybe you've been in a spot like this before. Actually, don't call in because there's going to be no way I can get your calls on. No, that's not true. No, it is true. I don't know. Call either way. We can get to him when we get back in case I've already left town. I need to know from people that have had people that are friends like come, you know, try to cross that boundary and you weren't interested. How did that affect your, could you guys still be friends? I don't think I haven't been on the receiving or the other end of that before. Mom, have you before? Well, you were married like out the womb, so.
Let's see, when I was in fifth grade.
Yeah, right. You're not the right person to ask for this one.
No, I'm not.
But, So part one of this is, I don't know if you can ever really be friends again. You can, I just think that the relationship's going to have to change. I do have a friend that worked with same situation and was mutual friends. And then they were out one night and he tried to kiss her and like was drunk and like went into this whole, I've always had feelings for you. And she was like, whoa, and they could never quite get their friendship back on track. So I don't know. I don't know if you can come back. Honestly, I think that's one of those things where you have to, I don't know. I don't think you can. I don't think you guys can really be friends anymore, which sucks, but maybe, you know, some calls and comments can say otherwise. On the other side, like, if you ever have a crush on your friend, should you say something or should you just leave it alone? Like, I've always been really skeptical about this because of that reason alone. I feel like once you say something, there's absolutely no going back.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
So.
It certainly makes you vulnerable.
Yeah. I don't know that you can go back. So is it worth it to say something? I don't think I would ever be able to say anything to anybody that I had feelings for that were my friends. Like, I don't think I could say anything because I wouldn't want to risk. And obviously coworker friends, like, it may be a little bit different, but not really. If you've been known for that long, like, it's just, I don't know. What do you think about that, Mom? If you have a crush on a friend, should you say something or should you just leave it alone?
Well, I think that eventually, you know, it would, if they were interested in you, you would figure it out. But I think I would wait for a cue, you know, from the other person.
Yeah.
Before I let them know that I had feelings for them.
Yeah. Well, 888-Kramer-8. You want to call and text? Like, I don't know. Two parts to this one. You know, has it ever happened to you? And like, should you? Like, because then somebody argue the other way of like, what happens if you guys are meant to be together and like nobody ever says anything? Like, that's kind of sad to me too. You know.
Well, I think if they were, that she would probably be feeling differently.
Yeah.
So, but she doesn't seem to have any romantic interest in him whatsoever.
888-Kramer-8. 888-Kramer-8. Mom, that's going to do it for you today. Love you.
Okay, honey. Love you forever.
If you haven't done so recently, could you go shoot Certified Mama's Boy a review on Apple Podcast or Spotify? If you've done it, like, I don't think you can redo it, but I think it's only one per person. But if you've never done it before, my boss just brought up a couple of days ago that our uncensored podcast hadn't had anybody like review it in a long time. And then I looked at Certified Mama's Boy, and it's like, it's kind of the same. So if you don't mind just shooting a, you know, 5-star review, that'd be awesome. Maybe write a few words, and that would be really, really good. We got one more day, y'all. One more day. See you back here for another show tomorrow. And then don't forget, we're off all next week.
Okay, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to my son's podcast, Certified Mama's Boy. Be sure to review and subscribe and tell your friends. Love you forever.